bottom of page 131. When we had passed the wandering rocks with Scylla and terrible Charybdis, we reached the noble island of the sun god, where were the goodly cattle and sheep belonging to the sun Hyperion. While still at sea in my ship, I could hear the I could hear the cattle lowing as they came home to the yards, and the sheep bleeding. Then I remembered what the blind Theban prophet Tiresias had told me, and how carefully Aeaean Circe had warned me to shun this island of the blessed sun god. So being much troubled, I said to the men, "Men, I know you are hard-pressed, but listen while I tell you the prophecy that Tiresias made me, and how carefully Circe warned me to shun this island. For it was here, she said, that our worst danger would lie. Head the ship, therefore, away from the island." The men were in despair at this, and Eurylochus, which one was Eurylochus? You remember? Yeah, the other, when they split into two groups, he was the captain, the kind of whiny, crybaby one, "Don't make me go, I'm afraid." Yeah, Eurylochus again. Eurylochus at once gave me an insolent answer. Do you know what insolent means? Kind of like rude and back-talking, like naughty. "Odysseus," he said, "you are cruel. You are very strong yourself. You never get worn out. You seem to be made of iron. And now, though your men are exhausted with toil and want of sleep, you will not let them land and cook themselves a good supper upon this island, but bid them to put out to sea and go faring fruitlessly on through the watches of the flying night. It is by night that the winds blow hardest and do so much damage. How can we escape should one of those sudden squalls spring up from southwest or west, which so often wreck a vessel when our lords the gods are unpropitious? Now, therefore, let us obey the behests of night and prepare our supper here, hard by the ship. Tomorrow morning we will go on board again and put out to sea." Thus spoke Eurylochus, and the men approved his words. The men agreed. I saw that heaven meant us a mischief and said, "You force me to yield, for you are many against one. But at any rate, each of you must take his solemn oath that if he meet with a herd of cattle or a large flock of sheep, you will not be so mad," meaning crazy, "you will not be so crazy as to kill a single head of either, but will be satisfied with the food that Circe had given us." They all swore as I bade them. And when they had completed their oath, we made the ship fast in a harbor that was near a stream of fresh water. And the men went ashore and cooked their suppers. As soon as they had had enough to eat and drink, they began talking about their poor comrades, whom Scylla had snatched up and eaten. And this set them weeping, and they went on crying till they fell off into a sound sleep. So far, so good, right? He makes them promise, no barbecue. You just have to eat the picnic food that Circe packed for us. And they do it. They land their ship, they take their rest, they eat what she packed, and all is well so far. In the third watch of the night, when the stars had shifted their places, Zeus raised a great gale of wind that flew a hurricane, so that land and sea were covered with thick clouds, and night sprang forth out of the heavens. When the child of morning, rosy-fingered Dawn, appeared, we brought the ship to land and drew her into a cave wherein the sea nymphs hold their courts and dances. And I called the men together in council. "My friends," I said, "we have meat and drink in the ship. Let us mind, therefore, and not touch the cattle, or we shall suffer for it. For these cattle and sheep belong to the mighty sun, who sees and gives ear to everything." And again they promised that they would obey. For a whole month the wind blew steadily from the south, and there was no other wind but only south and east. As long as corn and wine held out, the men did not touch the cattle when they were hungry. When, however, they had eaten all there was in the ship, they were forced to go further afield with hook and line, catching birds, and taking whatever they could lay their hands on, for they were starving. One day, therefore, I went up inland that I might pray to heaven to show me some means of getting away. When I had gone far enough to be clear of all my men and had found a place that was well sheltered from the wind, I washed my hands and prayed to all the gods in Olympus, till by and by they sent me off into a sweet sleep. Does this remind us of any other time? Great danger and Odysseus falls asleep?
Yeah. Strong the winds.
The bag of winds, right? So he goes off to pray. Now, why do you suppose this whole hurricane, this is Zeus's doing. Why do you suppose Zeus made the hurricane? Why couldn't they just rest for one night? That was their plan, and get going. Why would Zeus do that?
To test his men.
It's a test, right? It's a test of Odysseus. It's a test of his men. So, while Odysseus is sleeping, top of 133,